Keith, welcome once again to the election studio. It's the second time you've stood. You did so as well in 2015. Why do it again?
Because I still believe quite passionately that we need to change how we do, how we run the country. So I would have hoped for 5 years to prepare and get representatives of Rebooting Democracy across the country. But because of the snap election, it's currently just me. But it's given me a bit more practice run. It's spreading the word a bit more. So a lot more people are interested in the ideas that Rebooting Democracy is pushing forward. So
I dare say you were caught out by the general election as much as the larger parties were.
Yes, totally.
Is it an expensive exercise? Do you keep your deposit, for example, which is how much
it's
now?
£500. No, I didn't keep my deposit and I don't expect it this time. So it's useful to get up there and get your ideas out and get everybody thinking about a different way of doing things. So I think it's totally worth it.
And you feel you can do that better than, say, starting up a blog, tweeting, writing articles, just distributing pamphlets and stuff?
I think they both go hand in hand, whereas here you're actually directly debating with other politicians who, you know, have their certain ideologies and you can try hopefully step past them.
So arguably you would say that your £500 is a good value way of buying you a seat at the top table, albeit just for a few weeks.
Kind of, but it's quite interesting how many people don't invite you to hustings. So, because they just think, well, you're not one of the, in quotes, main parties. And that's quite annoying because I am a candidate for the election and I would actually, you know, like to get in and like to start making the changes as soon as possible.
Where do you sit on the political spectrum? It's easier with some parties because you've kind of, you know, even though UKIP have argued to me they're not on the right, but can you position yourself there?
So the party itself has no position because the whole aim is to get rid of party ideology. So you don't have a left and a right. You merely ask a group of randomly selected group of citizens to start making decisions instead of one politician whose only skill is to get elected. Personally, I'm very left. I suppose fairly left, kind of. But
so I'm assuming you'll be voting for yourself on Thursday. But if you weren't voting for yourself, where would your cross go?
I've been generally quite impressed with the Labour change. So
by that you mean their move, generally speaking, to the left under Mr. Corbyn?
Yes. It stands for a lot of things that personally I believe in. So I'm quite happy with how that's going. I was quite a bit confused about the Article 50 vote, but I can see he seems to have a good plan, and also he's just an honest person who just seems to say, this is how things should be, and let's work towards that, rather than trying to come up
even
with
though
media sound bites.
Yes, but that doesn't necessarily always have the backing of his party, as we saw in the last Parliament.
Absolutely, but I think that's actually where the true strength of his leadership is coming from. And so he's kind of where Rebooting Democracy wants to move towards, is that you get away from this whole thing of this media soundbite, and that's what drives their policy, is getting that media soundbite,
but
as opposed to having good
is
policies.
Is the media soundbite, though, the fault of the politicians, the fault of the media, or dare I suggest the fault of the public? Because that's, you know, the media knows and the politician knows that that's what works with them, what resonates.
So I think your key thing there is that it's not democracy's fault, it's elections' fault. So you're going up there and you're making a snap decision without any evidence. You've listened to some media, some people have done research, some people have looked to see what might be, you know, what person looks
the
best,
they have focus groups, and the Conservative candidate, John Hayward, worked in the, if I get the name correct, Conservative Policy Group, which feeds into the party responses from the party's members.
So essentially you need to go forward and look at how you can get the best evidence to go forward. So you were saying about how the parties need to actually, you know, they keep switching from side to side. You've got one that fixes economy, one that actually looks after people. Somewhere in the middle, there's quite a good middle road that we can follow, rather than coming in and then one party, then switching. You need to actually figure out what is the best way to go forward. You know, do we need more cycle lanes? Do we need more roads? Do we need more infrastructure? Should be looking after the NHS. So I think it's very important that we actually try and move towards using evidence rather than party ideology to try and move forward with our
And policies. You do this through inquiries or consultations, and I'm assuming at this point as well the word transparency would be important as well.
Absolutely. So the idea behind rebooting democracy is something called sortition, which is where you get use random selection of citizens.
So like being called up to serve on a jury, perhaps.
Exactly. So, and it'll be stratified. So while you may not be actually on that group, someone who is representative of you in society would be. So you would have, it would be 50-50 split men, women. You'd have a certain number of young people, a certain number of older people. You'd have poor people and rich people represented. And so there, they would sit down together. They would get training on facilitation, critical thinking. And then they would spend time, and they'd be paid for this. And they would have time to do this as a job for a bit. They would be listening to experts. They'd be listening to lobby groups. They'll be making their decisions on these. And the advantage is at the end, they then are let back to society. They're not trying to get elected again. They're not trying to think about what the media thinks. They're not trying to get a job out at the end of it. So it takes away all this kind of spin. And currently, it seems in Cambridge, it's just who's going to win is who's going to get the most leaflets through the door. And it's just ridiculous, you know.
That's too close to call at the moment, that one, I can assure you.
Yes, I've got stacks of them, and it's just, it's a crazy way. So essentially you have to spend all this money to try and advertise yourself to all these people rather than going out and thinking, how can we run this best? What's the best thing we can do for the country and for the people?
So you really want to disband Parliament, I suppose, as it stands at the moment.
Recreate it, I think. So one of the initial things
that you'd have a transition period to hand over from one system to another?
So there's been experiments been going on for years with this kind of thing. So that was the first stage. And the next stage would probably be to make the second house, the House of Lords, that'd be sortition-based. So they would be keeping Parliament in check, but it would actually be the citizens doing that. Then the next stage is to change how government works. So you start using the people to actually rule themselves. And it's this nice idea where the people go from ruling each other back to being ruled by someone else. And so a constant flow of
people. But you'd still need MPs in some form? Or is this a little bit like UKIP standing for the European Parliament, where you need to get enough rebooting democracy representatives in order to bring the ultimate change that you're looking for?
Exactly. It's exactly that. And so that's why the idea that this is why the issue with the snap election was a problem, because we need time to roll that out across the
what
country.
What have you done? Because I think when we last spoke, you mentioned this in part then. There's, at the moment, rebooting democracy, just a single candidate. But what steps had you taken to try and get people in other, presumably, centres or constituencies around the country?
So I haven't started on that, but we've got something called the Sortition Foundation, which it's not political, but it's pushing forward the goal of having sortition, and they're moving with something in the UK called the G1000. So that's a group of citizens coming together and talking for one day, randomly selected, and talking for one day about their community and coming with ideas of projects out the end. And this will help community binding, but it will also help sell the idea of sortition to people and how it works, and just the fact that a random group of people can make good decisions because you put people in a group and you get a wisdom of a group who are not just shouting at each other, but sitting there deliberating and talking with each other.
And does this plan extend down to local level as well? I'm thinking city council, district councils.
Yes, totally. So a lot of the examples around the world, certainly in Australia, where you have to engage with the community a lot more by law, a lot of it is sortition based because that's the best way to get people in. And currently, I think in Ireland, they've just had two sortition deliberation sessions, one for, I think, gay marriage, and I think one for abortion. These are issues that the politicians can't face. They can't make decisions about because it's too tough on when they're trying to get elected. So if they essentially say, well, the people made this decision, I'm going with what the people say, then you go forward. So it's quite an easy thing to sell to politicians, and they may eventually figure out that they're going to get removed eventually. But
now, do you feel that you're a one policy candidate, or do you when you stand up at hustings and other events, is there also a view which would represent the party, which I guess with the sortition principle, one of the few politicians who could be excused on having a different view to that of the rest of the members?
Yes, so it's quite hard to do. So essentially, I'm sitting at hustings.
So for example, if I ask you, how does Cambridge deal with Brexit? How do you respond to that?
And this is the ARU hustings. It was exactly that. There was question after question, and you can talk about how much they're passionate about it. But then the nice thing is you can turn around and say, well, I'm not going to sit here and promise something. I'm going to promise that you're going to be making the decision, or someone who is representative of you is going to be making that decision. So I started this whole thing essentially because climate change wasn't getting fixed, and we need a proper something proper to run the government that isn't political system for the long-term problems like climate change and inequality. So I can stand up and talk about that and be passionate about it, but at the end of the day, rebooting democracy has no position on it. You know, if the people have decided as a group they're just going to have cars and that's it, and just drive around and just get more and more
If you want to trash the planet, it's up to you.
Exactly, but when you sit down and get a group of people and they listen to the evidence and they've talked about it, you tend to end up with a far more progressive point of view that's good for everyone. And you find this in where they're essentially doing where they get together as a civic society and they make the budget for the councils, etc. You would expect that group to be quite narrow focused, but actually they think about everyone and they're very fair. So
because I'm wondering here, we did so much stuff on the city deal, particularly when they were talking about the access control points or road closures, as everybody else would have called them. You mentioned the Irish example, so I'm wondering if really the solution to many of the city's problems is to get everyone. Now, the city deal would argue it represents, it has people from university, it has people from business, it has people obviously from the already elected councils. Does that qualify as sortition, or do you need to see a greater representation from the ordinary voter?
So with things like the G1000, you specifically do actually get businesses and politicians in a small number so that they are part of the citizens. But something like, as you described in the city deal, most of those people are essentially self-selected and they are... they've got a vested interest.
An episode of Yes Minister where you pick the person who to lead the inquiry who is most likely to give you the result you want.
Exactly, yes. And so it's not a good way of going forward. You're not being, you haven't abstracted it to make a good decision and just listen to the evidence. Those people certainly should be giving evidence to the citizens' jury, the citizens' panel.
You see them almost as more of a witness than a member of the jury, if we could use this legal analogy.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, you wouldn't expect like the defendant to be sitting on the jury, because if you're going, well, I'm pretty sure that person's not guilty.
And is that a problem generally with society and the way things are handled, that it always seems to be the same people, the same sorts of people, they're sitting on multiple committees? Is that vested interest, or is that simply making good use of a very qualified person?
I think there is just so many vested interests. So just seeing through just what's coming out of this election, when you look at people's voting records, and you've got people who are voting, there's a large number of MPs who voted against making houses fit for habitation when you're renting them, and they vote against it. And then you look down and you go, a lot of you are actually renting out houses. And you're just like, well, that shouldn't be happening. So if you get a large selection of the population, a few of those will be renting out houses. A lot of them will be renting houses, and they'll be listening to the evidence. And so people will come up and say, well, will it make it more expensive? What's the best way to go forward? And so they can come out with an unbiased view rather than a group of people who... In general, in this country, the people who are ruling us are generally rich white men, and that's not really a fair representation of our our country. And again, a lot of it, as you were saying, is companies, and they've got a vested interest as well.
How many pages does your manifesto run to?
Oh, it's very short. So it's essentially just one page describing sortition and how we'd move forward with it.
Okay. What else do you have? Do you have posters? I'd say I hadn't seen any posters about, but I don't think I've seen any for the Conservative candidate either. So, but you know, are there posters made that people could stick to a wooden pole and pop in the front garden?
No. Okay. So, I mean, this has been, again, because it was quite... because it was essentially a snap election.
And leaflets to pop with the letterbox?
No leaflets this time. There just wasn't the time. So,
have you sent any press releases to anyone?
No, but I'm sending, like, I'm doing the blog on the website, as you were saying, and there's tweeting and stuff and talking about it with people. So it feels like a lot more people are engaging with me.
Mm. And is it a one-man band, even in Cambridge? Or presumably, obviously, you would have had people to sign your nomination papers. But beyond that, is there somebody who's, I don't know, sorting out your diary, say, for today or something?
My diary really isn't that full. But I've got friends who are helping, who are interested in it. And with the Sortition Foundation is also interested in what I'm doing. And I've just been connected with somebody else in a different country who's actually also running a Sortition Party candidate. So I think it will grow.
Can I
ask and grow.
Which country?
I can't remember because I haven't got in contact with them. It's just like just come in. So
okay.
I'll find out and come back to you.
Other like, yeah, do actually. Maybe we should get them on the line at the same time. How do you think the other parties have conducted their campaigns? You're probably in a unique position in order to judge on that one.
It is actually quite fascinating to watch at the ARU one, Hustings, which is the only one apart from the cycling campaign, I've been invited to. She said, I'm not a politician. I don't do this for a living. I'm a computer scientist. And so it's quite interesting sitting there watching people with their prepared texts, etc., and just going, well, there's this piece of text. And while our candidate, we're lucky in Cambridge to have candidates who are very local, so you actually feel they are connected a lot more to Cambridge, you still feel there's that air of, I'm just saying this is the party line, this is, you know, going like that. And there's... it just seems the wrong way to approach it. It's back to the whole thing that they're trying to sell you something. So that's all they are trying to do. They're trying to advertise to you. And you're just thinking, well, why are we trying to elect these middlemen who are going to advertise us to possibly put something in place? Why don't we decide what we're going to put in place and then just do it? Because...
I guess if they didn't toe the party line, then really they should stand as independents anyway. And you know, I've already mentioned some of the issues Mr. Corbyn faced during the course of the last parliament. The way democracy works, at least at the moment, is that people form themselves into, in this country, 4, 5, 6 groups perhaps. I think 7 is the largest on the alleged leaders debate most recently in Cambridge. In the Netherlands, where they recently had an election, I think there's at least 28 parties. And then, of course, you get the haggling which comes afterwards as various policies are thrown out. If you think the 2010 coalition was bad enough, this is every day in some European territories.
I just think, so yes, that kind of haggling, and you're just like, you're making deals, etc. What you shouldn't be making deals, because a lot of it is trying to keep your party alive. So you're making decisions because you've got a career in that party. And so we were lucky that the Labour candidate this time around basically voted against Article 50 because he understood his local community didn't. But it's just they're stuck in that kind of party machine, and that party machine keeps moving forward. It's not going to be making the best decisions for us. It's going to be making a lot of the best decisions for its party and how it can do. We can see this with, I think in the Tory manifesto, they're trying to change the way we do mayoral voting. So it's now going to be, instead of, I think we've got single transferable votes, we can vote for one and then we get the next one if we don't. They're trying to change that back to first past the post. And that's not fairer, it's not better for us. It's basically better for them. And you see that with gerrymandering of constituent boundaries. It's not the best thing for the country.
And at the local level, do you think that the activists are also playing fair? We hear tales of plans to deface some of these candidate posters and things which are up and about the city?
I think, to be honest, you're in a city where most people would just think that's quite childish. And I think actually it would just be a negative step. And you have to look at it as a bigger picture of how do you see yourself as a party. And if it's found out that one group marking the posters of another, the first group is essentially going to be looked down on by everyone. They're going to go and stop acting like kids.
Well, the best of luck for Thursday. Do you have your own personal projection of how many votes you'd like to receive this time around?
I'd like to see more, but...
How many was it last time?
187.
Okay.
Which was 0.4% of the vote.
Yes.
Because of the situation with Labour and the Lib Dems, and it was 599 votes between them last time, there's a lot more fight between them. And a lot of my friends have said, because they want to see one or other the candidate in, they didn't tell me which, interestingly enough, they are likely to vote for me. So I suspect it might be lower this time, but I'm still hoping for an increase.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll be able to speak to you on the night. Keith Garrett from Rebooting Democracy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.